Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Wednesday night installment here at Your Remedies in the Law. Tonight, of course, we're discussing various IRS administrative remedies and promoting our speaker's book, I Object. My name is Martin Michaels. I'll be your host for this evening's conference, brought to you by Your Remedies in the Law, which is in direct affiliation with Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you are on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. Now, we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everyone in no uncertain terms that anyone joining this call looking for legal advice has no place or business here. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs offered by Americans Restoring America is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, no one here is able to offer you any legal advice. Should you require legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes. It's just folks saying what they might do were they similarly situated to you. You might get a little bit of education out of it, but mainly you're just going to get folks' opinions about what they might do. However educated and experienced these thoughts and opinions might be, they are just people's opinions nonetheless, and it's always up to you to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next subject. I'd like to go over a few things here with Your Remedies in the Law, if I could, very quickly. First of all, if I can take everybody to the homepage of www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com, if we look in the upper right-hand corner, we see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that, and you'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it. These two items are of much importance, though, especially if this is all new to you. First and most importantly on the left is the jurisdictionary course. This is your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, better known to some as American jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a firm and thorough understanding of these rules means to have at least a basic understanding of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, mostly known for its high national win rate in most traffic cases throughout the country. At least that's what it's most popularly acquired for. But that is not really why it's on this page. The reason that we have it up here with the jurisdictionary course is when you go through it, you'll notice that it utilizes a lot of the same fundamental procedures that you learned about in the jurisdictionary course, so it kind of acts as a real-life homework assignment. Also, for a lot of folks, it's their first time committing to action. Folks seem a little more willing to take that first step, probably because of such a high success rate and traffic scenarios being such a common interest in this country today. The common law default, although known majorly for traffic purposes, has many other. Truly, it's for most scenarios that you may find yourself in where there's no damage to property or person. It's just some entity is claiming you broke a rule, therefore you must pay a civil penalty. Both of these items are very affordably priced, the jurisdictionary with a contribution of $250 and the common law default at $150. Also on the subject of Your Remedies in the Law, most of you are probably familiar now with Americans Restoring America. Every time you visit the homepage of YourRemediesInTheLaw.com, you are met with that blue box that pops up asking if you'd like to continue on to the site that you were visiting or stay and visit Americans Restoring America. The reason that we've done this is very simple. We're trying to get folks to explore. There are multiple information providers talking about multiple subjects, as well as many other features and study groups at Your Remedies in the Law. And Your Remedies in the Law is just one of a couple dozen websites that altogether make up Americans Restoring America. So there's quite a bit for you to see, and we hope that you'll do just that at your leisure. If you have any questions about whether or not we have an information provider that could give you their personal educated opinion about your particular situation, get a hold of us at YourRemediesInTheLaw.com, and we'll be happy to assist you in any way that we can. Statewide communications. If you're not already a member, please do sign up. Tell your friends and family about it. That's that map of the United States that you see on virtually every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables folks to speak with one another on a local level based on very strict pre-decided topics of discussion. Essentially how it works is this. A wizard will walk you through a very easy setup. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next, that sort of thing. Then it will walk you through the remainder of the setup. And then you get to a point where it will ask you, what are your hot points? What are you interested in? This could range anything from credit card issues, home foreclosure, IRS matters, asset protection, or maybe veterans' rights, maybe personal health rights, anything that you can think of. If it affects your personal rights in one way or another, you should find it in that list or something that's close enough. When the setup is complete, it puts it all together, much of how you think of a social a network. Though nothing like a social network. It's very custom. It's very private. But it then puts you in contact with people in your local area that have similar interests to you. The idea here is to put the power of education and communication back in the hands of the common man. If you are in need of legal advice or you need someone to represent you, you're going to have to get an attorney. It's just that simple. But if there was a way, a private place that you could go to discuss matters, your personal opinions, their personal opinions, with people that were like-minded, maybe you jump online one day and you say, this happened to me today. First person comes back and says, well, I disagree with that. I don't think they should be able to do that. I don't think that's fair. Well, that's probably not going to be of a tremendous amount of help to you. Maybe the next person comes on and says, well, I'll tell you what I would do were I similarly situated. I'd watch these YouTube videos, and then I'd go down there to my local county courthouse, go to the law library, get a law dictionary, and look up these terms. Maybe the next person after that says, those all sound like great ideas. I'd also go to this particular website and check out these educational materials that might assist you in your learning. And then for you to go and do some due diligence on what you're reading, just people's suggestions, people's opinions and all. But if you did some due diligence and educated yourself, maybe the farther you got into it, you discovered that it's not as difficult as you initially thought it would be because you're focused on one single subject. And you get to the point where you've educated yourself, and now you're handling your own affairs, your own matters. Well, folks, there's nothing illegal or unlawful about that. And that's all we're trying to do here at Statewide Communications is just very simply get people to start talking again. Of course, there's no cost to you for using Statewide Communications, either signing up or the regular using of it. And so we hope that you'll pass that around. Freedoms Radio. If you're over the road, you don't want to deal with the call process, maybe you're just new to your remedies in the law and you don't yet have your username and password, therefore you can't see the phone number and the PIN. By the way, if you'd like to pick up a membership to your remedies in the law, it's very easy. You just simply click the register button. Fill out your basic information there. You'll enjoy the first 30 days for free to evaluate it. After that, it converts to a very affordable $10 a month on your credit card or your PayPal. But every single call is recorded. You have years of archives to go through, a vast wealth of knowledge, as well as many other wonderful features. But if that's not an option for you today, you have freedomsradio.com. Every night, the calls go out over the air at 9 p.m. Eastern live. There's also the question bar there where you can type in a question, click submit. As long as that's during call hours, that will pop up on the moderator screen, and we do our best to read every single one of those questions out over the air as long as they are appropriate. So you don't get the one-on-one with the information provider like you would be by being a private member, but you do get your questions answered. There's no cost to utilize Freedoms Radio, so no matter where you are or your circumstances, you never have to miss a call again if you don't wish. All right, winding down here, I'd like to go over one last bit of housekeeping. This is your caveat emptor, or your buyer beware. For any purchase that you may make at your remedies in the law or any of the other sites underneath the umbrella of Americans Restoring America, when you come aboard and you go with an information provider, you are doing just that. Information providers pay Mr. Everett for advertising at your remedies in the law. This payment would be an expense to that information provider along with any other expenses that they might have associated with your particular product or service. When you contact us, all we simply do is listen to your particular scenario, quickly deduce from a list of folks that honestly most of you would probably never be able to find on your own just simply because they can't be found. And we make those introductions. Not every part on the information provider is always going to be successful. Everybody always hopes for the best. We plan for the best, and believe you me, we aim for the best. But unavoidable things do sometimes happen, and when they do, you have to roll with them and deal with them as you would with anything else in life. Again, we also want to emphasize, though, that the intent is always to be successful. If you have any questions of that, we welcome you to visit www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com/testimonials and see what others have had to say about these products and services. Now, let's touch very quickly on the subject of refunds or the refund policy. There is none. Not at Your Remedy Is in the Law, anyway. Of course, when you come aboard and you go with a particular information provider, again, that is exactly what you're doing. So any discussion of a refund or a credit would be a strict and private matter between you and the information provider, and even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You are expected to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular process or information provider's time. All right, lastly, pertaining here to all of the information providers at Your Remedy Is in the Law, we'd like you to remind everybody that all of our speakers at these conferences are our guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for giving us that disclaimer. It's greatly appreciated. This evening, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we'll have a very special announcement for next week. We're going to have to verify that with Mr. Slevin. But let me just posit this question to you, and this is really more to the entrepreneur. Would you spend $50,000 to have your LLC have $1 million line of credit? If the answer is yes, then you're especially going to want to be listening to tonight's call with the announcement that Mr. Slevin may be giving us for next week. Hey there, welcome. Kim, Pat, good to see you. Patrick, Ed, Thomas, and all you other folks, welcome to the call tonight. And Daniel, welcome to the call. So this LLC is unique. It's unique in the fact that you have an entity that is created for you, you know, limited liability company, that is turnkey, meaning to say the checking account is already open, all of the organizational papers are already filed properly, the entity exists, it's live as an LLC, it's got its own EIN number, etc. You have a cell phone that already has programmed into that cell phone all that you need to run your business, including processing bank cards, credit cards, debit cards, etc. So to get into detail on this, let's ask Mr. Slevin to step forward and share with us tonight possibly his news for next week, as well as explaining how his LLC, being most unique as it is going to be effective and helpful for you. I do want to add, I already have one. I acquired one from Mr. Slevin, and it is pretty. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Herr Slevin.
Good evening. Is it pretty and shiny and new and you like it?
Yes, it's a bauble. I love baubles. Baubles, bangles, and beads.
Oh, goodness. Too much information. So good evening, folks. The question of who exactly has to pay or is liable for the income tax has vexed Americans for well over a century now. And so the way that liability is assigned is via the statutes. And those statutes are found in the Internal Revenue Code, which is Title 26 of the United States Code. It was labeled Internal Revenue Code by a special act of Congress, I believe, around 1952. Nonetheless, when the Congress wrote these things up in that legislation, they used the rules of statutory construction. Now, one of the main rules of this, of the construction rules, is that they define any word or phrase as a term, only that term's definition can be used when reading and or applying the statute. It's very, very important because they like to use common words and make them totally uncommon or otherwise known as a term of art. Another one of the rules says when defining those terms with a list of things that are included or encompassed by the single word or phrase, it must remain in the same family. And there's a Latin thing that states that I will not attempt to pronounce. So an example of this would be, quote, the term edibles includes an apple, a banana, a grape, a rock, and a chicken, end quote. So we can look at that and notice that what most people think of as a rock is not edible, and therefore it couldn't be in that. It would be an invalid definition. So from the Internal Revenue Code, we go down to the title definitions, which are found in 7701. And it says, when used in this title, where not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof, the term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation, end quote. So all of those seem to fall into the thing into the same family as which are things created by a legislature or some form of government, except the one individual, because individual is a delimiter. It just means one of something. But in this case, what? Would that be like a spotted lizard or maybe a corporate official, a one-eyed jack? Or could it be the term individual as defined in Black's Law, 6th edition, which says, quote, existing as an indivisible entity, end quote. Now, an indivisible entity would fall in the same class or family as trust, estate, partnership, and so on. So we move on. And we saw a partnership in the term person. So we jump over here to section 701A of Title 26. And it reads in part, the term partnership, 7701. Misprint. 7701A2 reads in part, the term partnership includes an unincorporated organization. Okay? So, organizations such as limited liability companies and partnerships and statutory partnerships and corporations are organized differently. The corporation is incorporated through the mechanisms of the legislation, and the limited liability company, which was first created in about 1977, is organized, and then the partnership is also organized. So what does that mean? Well, let's run way back over here into section 701, and knowing what we know about the way they write these words, we find, quote, a partnership as such shall not be subject to the income tax imposed in this chapter, period. Persons carrying on business as partners shall be liable for income tax only in their separate or individual capabilities. Makes a whole lot of sense now, doesn't it? Because, well, it's obviously not about somebody earning a living. Some man or woman earning a living. It's about entities, but the term partnership, which includes unincorporated organizations, which is the definition of a limited liability company, plainly, by this statute, is not subject to the income tax. Well, gee whiz, I think we ought to want to do business like that, don't you? So, how does our company use what we've just gone over here to create the proper environment that is not subject to the income tax, a.k.a. not liable for, a.k.a. immune, not exempt, immune, totally different thing in law. Well, the first thing we do, our company goes and we agree with via application to purchase a name for the new company with the client. And then we, one of our people goes to the Secretary of State of New Mexico, because they are the best, and I'm about to say why, to organize a limited liability company. The application that New Mexico requires is called the Articles of Organization, not Incorporation, Organization. And this articles requires a minimum of two parties. They are known as the organizer and the registered agent, both of which can be other LLCs. Now, this is what they wrote up, and I'm pretty sure they got paid really well to do that because politicians don't normally give away the form. But think about that for a minute. So you can have one LLC that owns another LLC that owns another LLC, and so on and so forth. These are called bulwarks, and you have to dig very deeply to get in there and find them, and all you find is other LLCs. So our company has in its stable a couple of LLCs, one which acts usually as the organizer and the other which acts as a registered agent. Our organizer is headquartered down in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and the registered agent is up in Raton, New Mexico, on the other end of the state. Now, the as you can tell, that this layered approach has great privacy. Now, Delaware and Nevada and possibly Wyoming, when they have or get an application to incorporate or organize, they have to have people's names on there. That is known as the nominee list. And these states do protect that list. But in New Mexico, the list does not exist. And you can't find what doesn't exist. So once New Mexico provides our personnel with the certificate of organization, then one of our workers who's never filed a 1040 U.S. individual income tax return and is therefore without the jurisdiction of the IRS goes to its website and files a tax identification number for one of those known as the employer identification number or EIN. And that comes back on, I think it's the letter CP575, which is also known as an SS4. And the person that is without the jurisdiction of the IRS goes to the website, it asks several questions, one of which is, why is the LLC requesting an EIN? And we always use the number 3-1, which is banking purposes, and the subheading says, select this option if the reason for applying for an EIN is strictly to satisfy banking requirements or local law. Did you hear anything about taxation? No, because a limited liability company is not subject to the income tax, as Section 701 plainly states. So upon receiving the EIN, the individual at that time is known as the sole member of that new company, and it holds a meeting of the membership, and they do a resolution commissioning a third party as a manager of the LLC. Now, this commission is also known as a letter of authority. Now, manager is the only officer of an LLC. Corporations have things like president, CFO, directors, and such. And then partnerships, statutory partnerships, have limited partners and general partners. Now, manager is the only officer. You can have as many as you want, though, and as many as the members wish. Now, the ownership of the company is vested in members owning a percentage of membership versus like shares of stock for a corporation. So, but you don't have to have just 100 shares for 100% membership, or not shares. That would be certificates of membership. But you can break that percentage down to the fourth or fifth decimal place and have as many certificates as you wish, as the company wishes. So manager then gets these two pieces of paper and article of the certificate of organization, the EIN, and this commission as manager, and goes down to a brick and mortar bank and bills this new company a checking account comes with a debit card with only the company's name and the word manager on it, and then gets that all set up and hit, you know, has all the bells and whistles, electronic banking, so forth. Then they bring it all back to the office, and we pair it up with a pay-as-you-go cell phone. Here again, anonymity and privacy is the name of our game. The phone is pre-programmed with the electronic banking. We also like to include Square App and Cash App. Square App is a point-of-sale app so that the new company can take, once that's all fleshed out, the new company can take debit card and credit card transactions and checks now on the Square App to pay for the company's product and or services. And then Cash App is a nice peer-to-peer transfer platform that can be also linked into the checking account of the company, and which allows really quick, like one of my children today called up and says, "Dad, we're broke down. I need some money." All right. 2 minutes later, I fired up Cash App and sent him $500. He got it immediately. And he has a debit card with Cash App so he can pay for that. And that's what both Square App and Cash App also provide, are debit cards and checking accounts. So once all this is fleshed out, the new limited liability company can have three checking accounts and three separate debit cards and to do whatever is necessary. And in case one of those were to fail, you've got some backups. That's why you always carry a spare tire, or as I did a lot of parachute jumps in the military, I always carried a spare parachute. So once we put this all together, make it work, make sure everything's happy, activate the cards and so on, then we ship it out to the client. And the client, when he opens the box, they do become equipped to carry on business worldwide and income tax free. Sounds pretty swift, don't you think? And as Michael said, he is just as happy as a clam with it. So some ways of using these, when they open the box, that would be a small business example, you know, and one or two people doing products and services. Now we can do this a complex one. So say you've got a little factory and you've got equipment in the factory and you've got people that work in the factory. So the one limited liability company would be the factory, the operating entity. Then the equipment in the company in the factory would be owned by a second LLC and rented back to the first one. The building or housing would be owned by a third LLC and rented back to the first LLC. And then the people that work for it could have their own LLCs, and the first LLC would pay them, and then they would work under the umbrella of the fourth LLC. And if you've ever worked for any kind of temporary staffing agency, that's exactly how they do that, minus the each individual person having their own LLC, obviously, because they don't like to mess with the government, if you will. Another portion of this is estate planning. So mom and pop have a house, a car, and a boat, and they want to give it to the kids, but they don't want to pay probate or estate taxes. So what they would do is they would make managers of the children or the beneficiaries, whoever they might be. And upon their mom and pop's passing, then the kids just pick up their management and the debit cards and continue the family business as if nothing had happened, and without probate, without any kind of estate tax. So that's nice and quick and easy. If you're a W-2 type of situation, you are an employee, which is defined back in 7701. If we were to take time to read that, an employee, they go through about 100 or so words, and then they said the term employee includes a full-time life insurance salesman. So all this time you thought you were an employee if you were an engineer or a clerk or something. Nope, that's not what the definition says. And that's, I believe that's 7701A20. So dealing with a employer, which is also a defined term, there's normally a W-2 that is filed and sent to the IRS, and this is called third-party reporting. So you have the The IRS thinks they're the first party and the taxpayer is the second party, and then whoever hands the taxpayer some cash is the third party, which would be the employer in this case. And so that third party reporting is the crux of how the IRS finds out about everything. And so so upon acquiring one of these LLCs, the employee goes to the employer and goes, "Hey, boss, how'd you like to cut 25% off your labor costs and still get exactly the same great work that you've been getting from me?" Well, guy's going to, ears are going to perk up, because any business owner or manager that can cut 25% off of his labor cost, yeah, he's going to be looking into that real quick. So there's this thing called the burden rate, and the burden rate is what the bottom line cost of an employee to an employer. It's usually about 1.5 to 1.6 times the salary of the employee. So we'll say Joe's working for IBM, and he learns all this really cool stuff, gets himself an LLC, which in our company, the product name of this LLC, because we add so many things to it, is called a private firm. So Joe gives him a private firm. He goes up to the boss and goes, "Hey, boss, how'd you like to reduce your labor costs on me by 25%? He goes, "Yeah, let's talk." So we'll say that the IBM is paying Joe $100,000 a year now. So Joe goes, he says, "Okay, I know that I'm costing you $160,000. So what we'd like to do is renegotiate. I'll resign as an employee, and this new limited liability company will step in as the overall umbrella that I'm going to work under, and the contract will then be between IBM and the limited liability company. And all the other stuff that has been going on with the different checks on bi-monthly and so on, the taxes, all that just goes away. And you cut one check for $10,000 to the LLC every month. And that equals $120,000 at the end of the year, which 120 is about 75% of 160. And, oh, by the way, Joe, now his pay goes from 100,000, and all the deductions from it, which takes it roughly down to about 60 or 65, up to a cool take home of 120,000. So the pay increase is really close to 80% when it's all figured out like that. And, of course, IBM is saving 25% of the labor costs for the same person doing the same thing in the same great manner. They people in business world are always looking at cutting costs, and this is a great way of doing it. So the announcement that Michael was speaking of is we are going to have next Wednesday Tony the Tiger and his buddy Ronald McDonald. No, I can't use that. Never mind. Anyway, we'll have both of them.
Can't do it with a straight face, can you?
No. No.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. You'll have to forgive us, but
I have maintained a posture for almost 30 years of anonymity of the information providers that I offer with, and that's so that people work directly through me in coordinating their efforts. Frankly, that's about it. And the other thing is that there's security involved. There's certain large financial institutions that would like not to have us share the information that we share on these calls, whether it's asset protection on Saturday with Bernie or tonight's LLC or correcting your status is something that is freaking out every single municipality that comes that's trying to get traffic ticket money going for it and so forth. So you'll have to forgive that, but that's just the way we roll, if you would. Anyway,
yeah.
Mr. Slevin, go ahead and tell us about Tony the Tiger and his friend.
Yeah. As Tony and Ronald will be will be on and presenting the details of how, as Michael mentioned earlier, that we can go with $50,000 into a situation and get the LLC, or private firm, if you will, a $1 million line of credit. And that may be way bigger than you're starting out. But we have clients that do run $1 million a year or more through our products. And they are just as happy as a clam, and the IRS is fuming because they can't touch them. There is no income tax due under the limited liability company that we call a private firm. And
this this line of credit cost and the line of credit itself descends. I don't have that nailed down yet, but you know, you say I don't need $1 million line of credit. I'd be happy with $250,000. You know, that can be priced out as well. Just to let you know, it's different. But you know, I chose for myself the $1 million line of credit because I need it. I need that kind of flexibility. Back to you.
Yep. So the details on that will be laid out next Wednesday on this call. And that's all I've got. What are your questions?
All righty. Again, we have a first-time caller from Grand Prairie, Texas, phone number ending in 3698. Would you be so kind as to share with us how you heard about us? I've unmuted your phone.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm a friend of GW's.
GW has a friend, really? Gosh, if he was only listening on this call to hear me say that.
Here we go.
What's your first name? What's your first name, please, sir?
Hey, GW is there. I heard that voice.
GW. Yeah.
Hey, there.
A-L-E-O-N. Alion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was laughing at. Go ahead, say it again.
Alion, A-L-E-O-N.
Thank you, Alion. I appreciate you. Welcome to the call. All right. So, press star two.
Questions, queries.
Press star two on your keypad, ladies and gentlemen, to raise your hand. Those of you on Freedoms Radio, you'll notice that in the center right of your monitor is the silhouette of a rectangle laying on its side. Left click inside of that. Type away your comment or question. Underneath that, you'll see a place to put your name, some other information, then hit submit. When you hit submit, it pops up on my end, and I'll be glad to give voice to your comment or question. Again, press star 2, ladies and gentlemen. We don't want to go home early tonight. It's just started. So go ahead, press star 2. While you're thinking about that, I'm going to go check out Freedoms Radio to make sure that, see what we have there. Excuse me. All right. Nobody's asking questions there. We may say goodnight early tonight. Oh, here we go. Tommy. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yes. Yes. Last week, I believe it was, I started to get a new job at a temporary service called People Ready in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
And I've corrected my political status, and I turned in my W-8-B-E-N to the office for them to correct and update my paperwork. And they told me that Social Security and Medicaid will still be taken out of the paycheck. I think it was GW said, you know, asked me to call you and talk to you about that, that you have something available for free that you could help me with.
Are you asking that of Mr. Slevin?
I don't remember the name, but yeah, I think GW said talk to you on Wednesday. But then came in.
I remember you had a question about something, but I don't ever remember saying, hey, it does everything for free. I don't remember that part.
No, enough. But you said that, you know, he had maybe a couple of documents or something you could, you know, help me with for free, or talk to you and Michael about it. Something along those lines.
What is the goal, Tommy? What are you attempting to accomplish?
Not have Social Security taken out.
Correct. And Medicaid.
Well, Medicaid's just another piece of the Social Security pie.
Yeah, that's really a question for John. John has not been available for a couple of days, 3 days. He's been traveling. He'll be back home tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it was John that we talked about that you needed a call. That was
John.
That was the one. Yeah, that was John on that one.
Yeah. John will be available probably after 5 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Eastern tomorrow in the afternoon.
Okay.
Just to go on with that, when the limited liability company that we provide contracts with an employer at that point, then any Social Security or anything is not taken out. That's part of the raise that the quote-unquote employee gets. So. But in your situation, you've already signed on as an employee to the temporary servicing company, so and give them a Social Security number.
Yes, I've been with them for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and I update my political status, and then I'm just trying to update and correct my paperwork with them, like I'm doing with everything else.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I want to remind everyone, and I'll be saying this a couple, three more times during the call, that you absolutely want to be here next week. Tell your friends that are business people that they should be here next week with regards to this particular unique offer of being able to set up a line of credit, if you would, or a business loan, however, through the LLC with an aged report that this LLC earns. And we can go into greater detail on that next week. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I wish I had available to me 30 years ago. Well, anyways. So anyone else, press star 2 on your keypad. Raise your hand. So, again, we don't want an early night. While you're thinking about doing that, I'm going to press and check people over at Freedoms Radio. See if they've asked a question here. If not... We have several first-time callers tonight. Alion, go ahead.
Yeah, question in regard to how can you utilize any major banking institution, or is it limited to a particular bank? And I'm talking about Slobin's methodology and how you go about, sir. Do you use a particular bank, and if so, Does that bank at least have somewhat of a national presence?
Yeah, at this point in time, we're using Truist, which is a recently come on the stage in that name because it was a merger between the BB&T, which has been operating since the 1880s, and Suncoast, I believe is that.
SunTrust.
So they merged and became Truist. SunTrust, there you go. And then, so that's what we're using right now. We've used other banks in the past. There's, because the LLC is done in New Mexico, some will use the word local banks won't allow it to have a, or they won't give it a checking account without that LLC, which is, because it's in New Mexico, we'll say the client was in Texas, and they wanted to get a checking account for the New Mexico LLC. In Texas, the Texas legislature has said that is a foreign LLC in the eyes of the state of Texas, and therefore it has to be registered with the Secretary of State of Texas before the local Texas banks will give it a checking account. So we've run into that a few other places. Our main office is in North Carolina, and So that's why we're using Truist. Bank of America has decided to go just bat crap crazy. And there's been a whole lot of other stuff going on. So that was our choice back in the last year. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it does. I was just wondering also from a redundancy standpoint and or a fail safe, if something were to happen, is there other
right.
banks that you'd be able to pivot
yeah,
towards?
And there are, and if you were to become our client, once you receive the box with the transfer documents and the checking account and the debit card and the cell phone and all the other stuff that comes with it, in that box is a letter of authority for the client and anybody that the client wishes to have one. And then with that letter of authority and the original organizational papers, which include the EIN and the certificate of organization, the client and their designate could then go to a local bank and get it. And we can assist with that if that's what you want to do.
Okay.
So we have
that.
And go ahead.
No, I was just referencing in order to retain anonymity, in the event that an individual has other banking, you know, banks with other types of banks, whether it's mm-hmm. in Texas, California, et cetera, let's say one becomes a client, they end up doing the Truist, yet I do know Truist does have a decent presence in certain states. If one were to still want to retain anonymity, but yet bank in with other institutions, how would one go about doing that? Or are you guys still working to solve that hurdle right now?
Well, that could be done. Our people could do that. As I said, we also include Square App and Cash App, which gives, you know, once those are fleshed out, then it gives the new LLC three checking accounts with debit cards. The Square and Cash are somewhat limited, but they're still available. So, you know, and if the client wanted to build a secondary banking presence in, you know, Missouri or whatever, then we would see what kind of logistics were necessary to get that done and retain their anonymity. And then we would price that out and get it done. So, since you're asking about that, let me go over the pricing on these things. So the base package, retail package, is $7,500. And then the things that we were talking about the getting other checking accounts and so forth and so on are built into that package. And if they come later on, that's part of what we call our integration package or integration services. And so the integration and all of those kind of details that we were just referencing is part of what we call our hotline services. Now, hotline services are free for the first year. You just call up the 1-800 number and you know, we either answer the question or find the answer for you. And then but it is an optional subscription, which is $500 a year after the first one. And if the subscription is allowed to lapse, then and you call in and need something like that done, then it would be a $500 an hour fee, first hour up front. So that's the way we work that. And, you know, all these details, if you will, about having multiple accounts and so forth and so on, we can do it. It's just a matter of, you know, finding the details once you become a client. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I'm retaining. I'm just absorbing and processing. I appreciate the the data.
Okay, great.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? Elion, do you have any other questions? Okay, guess not. Anyone else? Press star 2 on your keypad, please. Press star 2 on your keypad. raise your hand. Otherwise, we're going to be saying goodnight early. Let me go check Freedom's Radio while you're thinking about pushing that button. Refresh. Nope, no more questions there. We've got some good talent here tonight. We've got some questions to ask. It's time to ask them. Do I see Tony the Tiger here? Is Tony out of Greensboro?
Not the one
and
I
think Elmer.
About.
No, okay. Elmer, welcome
yes,
to the
sir.
Call, sir. Welcome.
How long would it to take to make all this happen? If I pull the trigger on this $50,000 deal, how long does it take to make all that happen to have $100,000 or $1 million line of credit?
Normally we would get the LLC up and running and then go into the line of credit. And so we're talking probably at least 8 weeks.
The LLC is what, 30 to 45 days?
Yeah, that's what they've been running. But
okay,
but
and then the line of credit is another 30 to 45 days. So you're talking
right, but
60 to 90 days from start to end.
Yeah, we don't have to wait to ship the LLC before, because there's things like checkbooks and debit cards that have to come in. So we don't have to wait on that. The line of credit can get going on that LLC within a week or so.
Okay. Yeah. I'll listen to it next week, and then we'll make a decision on what I want to do, because I don't want to tie up $50,000 for very long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Capital and operating expenses are everything in business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially these days with the cost of everything. Mm-hmm. Price you mm-hmm. can't even, cost you $100 to take a crap anymore in this damn country.
Yeah, I just got a text from Tony the Tiger, and he does say that the line of credit takes 45 to 60 days.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, that answers my question, so I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Thank you, Elmer. Appreciate you. All right, anybody else? Press star 2 on your keypad. Raise your hand. Press star 2. While you're thinking about doing that, I'm going to go check Freedom's Radio again. You know, we've got GW here. Anybody want to say hello? Let's see. Anything else? That's it, I guess.
Oh, by the way, GW should have just about received his private firm as well.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yep. Haven't even opened it up yet, though.
I figured.
Super busy day. Super busy day.
I pulled the same thing on Mr. Slevin.
Yeah, he calls me up. He calls me up with an emergency, and I said, "Well, did you check so and so?" He goes, "No, I haven't even opened the box," and I'm just like,
"All right,
you got to turn the key on, man."
Excuse me, I'm sorry. If we're not going to have any questions tonight, we're going to go ahead and call tonight. Let me check Freedom
right.
Radio one more time. Otherwise, press star 2 on your keypad. Nope. Not there. Well, Mr. Slevin, any parting comments?
Have a bodacious day, y'all.
All righty. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Come back Saturday with Mr. Justice Beshear, rather. And then we'll see you then. Until then, good night, everyone, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.